great time with my three buddies in Texas. We laughed, we ate good food, we fished together, but I want you to know that I would never have chosen them my friends when I was in college. Never. But God had a different story. God placed two of them as my roommates and then put Davis next to me in a dorm room right next to me, and God did something amazing. First of all, the first one, David Dunnigan, is very quiet. He's an introvert, and also he has the gift of knowledge. Very, very smart, and I was very envious of him because I'm very competitive, and I always wanted a better grade than he got. So they didn't do well as a friendship. And then Eddie, my other friend, was very soft-spoken, just always soft, never gets angry, and also he was non-athletic. And then we got Davis. Davis was this loud Texan, and I tried my best to stay away from Davis. Loud, he's opinionated, and God kept bringing us together, and David has this, he is just relentless. He felt like God wanted me to be his friend, and he kept after me, and I kept running, but God made that into a beautiful relationship. We, in those 4 years, many times, we have butted our heads. We got angry at each other. There was times of hatred, bitter disagreements, even divided us. I mean, for 4 years, we went through the gamut of all the things that relationships end up going through. But God used that time to nurture a very wonderful relationship. Through the Holy Spirit, God has brought together, and we were able to use those beautiful fruit from love and care and kindness and peace and goodness. In those 4 years, God helped us to rely on the fruit of the Spirit to bring this very unique type of relationships into very close relationships. We learned to love each other. We learned to listen to each other. We learned to understand each other. We learned to validate each other. And we learned how to resolve our differences. And I say that because in the last 37 years, because of that very wonderful relationship in which God nurtured us, that we have cried together, we have suffered together, we have experienced hard times in which we support each other, that friendship in those 37 years, those friendships we had really helped us through the things that we have gone through in our life. And I want you to know that's what church should look like. That's what church is. Church is brothers and sisters coming together. And many times we don't choose our church mates. God calls us to a church. God calls us to a family. And there are times within that church we notice there are certain people we don't want to get to know. We gravitate to others, but God, in his very loving way, puts us in situations where we're working together, we're serving together, and God also makes sure that we're able to resolve our differences. The Church of Jesus Christ is a gift to us. Brothers and sisters in Christ is a gift from God, and that through the gift of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, that we do learn to listen to each other when we are struggling. We do learn to understand our needs. We do learn how to validate our differences. And we make this amazing family in which God is very proud of us. And because of that, we're able to shine Him into the world. So we, in the last couple months, we've been looking at sermon series on the book of Galatians. It's a very special book, and God has shown us a couple things. There are two very important parts of this book. And the first part that we've learned, that God made it very clear through the words of Paul, there is no other gospel. I mean, very, very clear. And no other gospel. And that there is the gospel of Jesus Christ that's given us through Jesus Christ. It's a salvation. It's a gift of God that's given to us through the work of Jesus Christ. And all we do is receive it by faith. And God made it very clear, if there's another gospel that's being preached, he wasn't nice about it. He was very clear, let that person not just be cursed once, but cursed twice. Because he does not want anybody to put conditions on his free gift of salvation that Christ has given us through the work on the cross and his resurrection. So very clear, God says, any other gospel that is preached, let that person be accursed. Matter of fact, he gave us an example. He gave an example of a Jerusalem leader that comes into the church and was trying to put a condition on membership and what it means to be a Christian, and basically you had to be circumcised or you're not a part of God's kingdom. And God says, no, you can't do it. You're putting conditions, again, on my gift of salvation. So the first part of Galatians is very, very clear. And we have those examples in our Christian community. If a person comes up to you and says, well, if you visit a church and they sit there and say, well, you can't have communion because you're not a member of the church, and you just sit back and says, yes, I have communion. I don't have to be a member of your church. My communion, or the communion God has given to me, is not restricted by the fact that you have put a condition on it. Communion is a gift that's given to us through the church universal. So there are times and there's places you can't take communion because you're not a member of their church. That is not God. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another, you have to be baptized a certain way. If you're not baptized a certain way, then you're really not a member or a Christian in the community of God. No, there is no limits. There's no condition when it comes to receiving the gift of salvation. It is by faith. It's a gift to us. Or you're not a real Christian unless you speak in tongues. No, there's nothing in Scripture that says that speaking in tongues is a evidence of you being a real Christian. So anytime you hear people putting conditions on salvation or what it means to be a Christian, then you have to think twice about what they're saying. And God made it very clear, and I'm very clear too. God said, you can't do that. So the second part of the book of Galatians, is that there are divisions within the church. And divisions happen when people get together. Disagreements, decisions. And we learn that there is this war of the Holy Spirit being inside of us, trying to lead us and guide us with this Holy Spirit. At the same time, we live in this flesh that's been conditioned by our sinfulness, that it's been molded by the world, that's being tempted by Satan. So we can respond with our flesh, and with that response to the flesh, we actually are sinning. And instead of causing peace and love and unity and faithfulness within a community of believers, instead it causes destruction, dissension, division. So we struggle. We know this. We struggle with our flesh. We struggle with what it wants to do and how we should respond emotionally to situations. But God's in the process of helping us to develop the Holy Spirit in our lives, in which we are learning to count on the Holy Spirit. We're learning to trust the Holy Spirit, and we're allowing for the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our life so that we don't have to respond to the flesh. And God made it very clear in Scripture that you will shine. You will shine. Something is going to be shining in your life, wherever you may be. It might be at your work, at your play, at your marriage, in your children, wherever. You're going to shine something. Either you're going to shine in responding in those situations with your flesh, it's going to be evident, or we are going to respond with the Holy Spirit leading us in these situations. So one of two is going to happen. We're going to either have our flesh responding, or we're going to have the Holy Spirit guiding us to respond with the fruit of the Spirit. And God says that we're no longer tied to our flesh. We don't have to be led by our flesh. We now have the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be able to lead a life based on God's way of dealing with relationships. So the first part of this, we've been looking at social sins, okay? Social sins. These are the sins that bring division, bring in dissension, brings in disagreement, brings in brokenness, brings in the capacity to seek vengeance and hurt each other. We have needs that we want. We demand those needs. We don't listen to people. We don't validate them. We don't understand them because we want our needs met. And I'm going to resolve it that way. And I don't care about the value of you as a person or persons. I'm going to make sure that I get what I want. Social sense. And that happens in so many different ways. In so many different ways. So the first part, David preached to us the social sense of discord and dissensions and factions. And dissensions and discords, basically there's no harmony, there's disagreements. We don't want to resolve our differences. And then we have the factions, which we do, we come into little factions and we come at each other. And God says, this is not a way to resolve our needs in our life in a situation. The last time I spoke on social scenes, we talked about two different things, jealousy and envy. Two different ways of looking at life. Jealousy is something that I have and I feel there's a threat to me. And someone's trying to take that away from me. Okay? And so I'm doing everything I can to make sure that person doesn't take that away from me to the point where I divide, I stay away from that person, or I have division with that person. The other is envy. Did you have something that I want so badly? You have a position in a church. You have a position in a company. You have a financial package. You have something that I want so badly that it causes me to dislike you. It causes disharmony in my life, and we've learned that. Today we'll be focusing on hatred, fits of rage, and selfish ambition. Again, God says these are situations in which we respond in our flesh when we find that we're not getting our needs met. We find ourselves being hateful towards people. We find ourselves having fits of anger because we want it our way. And then we have the selfish ambition that I'll do whatever I can to make sure that my needs are met, no matter what cost comes into a relationship. So we're going to learn about that. So let's listen to the scripture again. So he says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Again, you know, our sinful nature is warring, is fighting, and God says, don't live with your sinful nature, don't respond to the sinful nature, but instead respond to the Holy Spirit that's in your life. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not know what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then he says this, now the works of the flesh are evident. And we talked about that, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, so forth and so forth. And these will not inherit the kingdom of God. And again, we understand that God truly wants us to prosper. God truly wants us to be blessed by Him. When we are responding to our sinful nature, we are bringing consequences into our life. And that we have to live out those consequences. And God does not want us to live those out those consequences, because what consequences does, it destroys us. It destroys relationship. And eventually it leads us to death. But God says, I want you to be blessed. I want you to live in the world, in the kingdom of God, where you're being blessed by me. And the way you're blessed by me is being led by my word and being led by the Spirit. And when you follow me and obey me, and that you follow and respond to the Holy Spirit in you, then blessings are going to happen in your life. Good blessings. Blessings of peace. Blessings of love. Blessings of unity. Blessings in which you have joy and purpose. So let's take a look at the three that we talked about today. Enmity or hatred, fits of rage, and selfish ambitions. Social sins that can destroy relationships. So the first one is hatred. Hatred, that feel of intense or passion-like dislike for someone. I think all of us here have had hatred for someone. Someone that we just do not like. Somebody that hurt us so badly. There's this passion, I don't want to be with that person, and I'll do whatever I can to stay away from that passion. Well, I shared earlier with you that this is my relationship with David. Okay, the Texan, allow Texan. I tried not to engage in him. I did not like him. I actually hated him because of who he is. And I know that's terrible. But my actions towards him was basically, I don't want anything to do with you. and I'll do what I can to stay away from you. And so what it does, instead of resolving our differences, it just made me try to look ways in staying away from them or even hurt them sometimes. That is not the way to deal with disagreements in relationship. So hatred, fits a rage. This is a unique Greek word because it's passion as if you're breathing hard. When you have fits of rage, you do. You have this feeling of being all worked up. And best way to understand that is, have you ever seen toddlers have these called temper tantrums in a store? Oh, yeah. Many times you go to a store and suddenly in the middle of the store, you hear this just loud crying, this loud noise, and you turn the corner and there's a little toddler, a person there just having this temper tantrum because they want something so badly, they're willing to make a scene about it, and they're willing to put mom and dad in a bad situation. So this fits of rage is where you're not getting what you want, and you find yourself just working up this lather. You start to breathe hard, and you start to have these outbursts of anger. Have you ever had that before? Yeah. I get so angry, and just you have this outburst of anger. Then the other one is selfish ambition. That this is the what I call is the I syndrome. Okay? I will get my way, and I will let no one stop me. I will get my way, and I will let no one stop me attitude. And you'll do whatever you can to make sure what you want will happen. And you don't care about the relationship. You just are going to make sure that your needs are going to be met. All these things are ways to destroy relationships. All these things are ways to not resolve relationship, and what you have is pain, you have is destruction, you have dissension, you have division. See, we want our needs to be met. We demand that our need will be resolved and met. We don't listen. We don't understand the other person's needs. We don't validate them as a person or as a brother or sister in Christ, and we don't resolve our differences or our conflicts. So we end up having division, dissension, brokenness, and vengeance. And God says, that is not the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is about taking these differences. It's about taking these conflicts, understanding our needs, being able to explain those needs, and be able to resolve them by working, allowing the Holy Spirit work in our lives. And as the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, we find ourselves valuing the person that we're in a disagreement with. It's really hard to resolve a conflict. It's really hard to resolve a difference when we truly don't value the person that we're having a disagreement with. So God said very clear, when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, when you're being formed by the Holy Spirit, one thing you will do, you will learn how to value the person that you don't like. You will learn how to value the person that you have a disagreement with. So it says in Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, meaning I will get what I want, I will continue to demand my needs, rather serve one another in love. When we're in the midst of this disagreement, when we're in the midst of conflict, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. God makes it very clear that unless you love your neighbor, unless you really value that person that you're disagreeing with, and the person that you have a conflict with, you're not going to be really able to understand, be able to resolve the situation. So love your neighbor. Now, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the beautiful gift that God gives us. God continues every day to show us how valuable we are by Him pouring out His love in our lives. We love because He first loved us. And we're in that process. Every day, God's in the process of showing how much He loves us, how much He values us. how much he truly desires this relationship that we have with him. And as our understanding of God's love grows and grows and grows, we find ourselves really loving ourselves, knowing it's okay to say that I love myself because God loves me so dearly. When we're able to truly understand that and we understand that process, then we're able to turn around and say, I love you because God loves me and I love myself and I love you so much I will do what I can to value you when we have a disagreement or we have a conflict. And we go through the process of working out and resolving the situation. So, God develops this fruit in us in which we can have love, joy, peace, and patience. And in that, it helps us know how to resolve our needs that are different between the two of us or different parties. So this morning's lesson is this. To resolve our differences, our conflicts and disagreements, we must L-U-V-R, lover. Take a pencil, take a pen, if you can, and write down L-U-V-R. It's very important. This is the very, very situation that God does with us, okay? All relationships, friendships, marriages, families, brothers and sisters in Christ, all relationship in workplaces, sports, and politics, we will have conflicts, we will have difference of opinion. Great relationships have that type of dynamic. Because what we're doing is we're being honest about our needs. In a great marriage, we're able to sit there and say, this is my need, and the other person say, this is my need. And it turns out to be the two needs are not being able to be met because one wants it this way and one wants it that way. So we will have that. There are two separate needs, and many times in a relationship, we find ourselves saying, I want my needs met. And we won't listen to the other person. We won't understand their needs, and we won't validate the fact that they have a very important need. And instead of resolving, we find ourselves in a disagreement, in a division, and we find ourselves slowly splitting apart. So God says that there, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in a church. You're going to have disagreements with me. You're going to have conflict with me. Okay? That is what relationships are about. They happen. When we are honest and we allow ourselves to be led by God's Spirit to deal with issues in our life, we are not going to see eye to eye on each other. And that's not just with myself and we, with you, but with every member in the church. So God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a way in which I have used all your life to help you to know how I resolve your needs. Because God says, I have a need, and you say, I have a need, God. And for some reason, we have a conflict. So one of the best ways that we do this is that we must use lover. L-U-V-R. Lover is listen, understand, validate, resolve. They're the very things that God has used in our life when it comes to resolving our needs. And God wants us to use that when it comes to understanding others when we want to resolve our differences. So in every disagreement, in every situation where there is a conflict, there are two different needs. There's one person going, I have a need here, and I have a need here. Social sins says this, I want it my way, I want it my way, I will make sure my need will be met, I make sure my need will be met, and we never resolve it, we continue to divide, and we pull apart. God says that we need to understand there are two different needs, and we need to be able to understand and listen to what those needs are. So, I need to listen to that person, I need to understand that person. I need to validate them. And I need to be able to address those needs in which we can resolve. If we don't do it that way, then our needs will not meet, will not be resolved, and we find ourselves pulling away from each other. So, I'll just use an example with Cynthia and myself. Cynthia and I, we love skiing. But we are very different skiers. And we love being together. Okay? Now, I have a need when I ski. I'm a downhill skier. I have a need to ski, and I want to go bang, fast, aggressive, move fast, get down to the bottom of the hill, and just blast the whole thing. Cynthia, no. Cynthia likes to take her time, and she likes to ski here and ski over here and do it very gracefully. But we both want to be with each other. But I want to get down to the hill. I want to do it fast and aggressively. She wants to do it nice and smooth and softly. So we had to figure out how to resolve the need of still being together, skiing together, okay, without one need overriding the other. So we have learned a system. So, and in that system, we were able to resolve the need. So what happens is Cynthia would ski down and her do her little thing, okay? And I would wait, and she'll stop. And I'll go, bang, 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 bang. I'll pass her up, stop, and she'll come. Yeah. See, but we're skiing together. See, we're resolving both needs. And we love being together, and that allows us to ski together and actually want to ski together. Because if I demanded Cynthia to ski the way I ski, she would never do that, and she would never want to be with me. If Cynthia demanded that I should ski like her, there's no way I'm going to ski that way. But we were able to understand each other's need. This is a very simple situation. But we're able to understand each other's needs. We're able to listen to each other why we do this. We're able to validate her need to go nice and slow and all, you know. And we're able to resolve it. So when it comes in a disagreement, when it comes to a conflict, think about it. You have two people that have two different needs. And many times what we do is we want to make sure that our needs are being heard, and we want to make sure that our needs are being resolved and met. And we have the other person the same way. They have needs. So we do a lot of times things that are not healthy. We either get very angry, we make sure that we raise our voice, we say, I want it this way, or we find ourselves, which is a big one, is that I'm not going to engage, I'm just going to walk away from this thing, and I'm not going to talk to you, and just leave the other person hanging. So there's different things that we do in relationships. Instead of resolving the needs, we find ourselves actually dividing ourselves even more. So God is always great at sitting back, and he helps us to, he listens to us. The Samaritan woman is one of the best examples of that. He listens to us, he knows our needs. He understands our needs, okay? He validates us as his son and daughter, and God helps resolve that need in our life. In order for us to resolve our differences, our conflicts, I have to be able to listen to you. I have to listen to you. Not only do I have to listen to you, I have to understand what is the need that you have. And the best way for me to help you to understand that I understand is I repeat the very thing that you shared with me and said, so your need is this, bang, bang, bang. And the person says, no, you're missing it. Once I am able to repeat that need where the person sees that I understand that needs, then I says, yes. And I said, well, thank you so much. I don't sit there and say, well, that need is stupid. You know, I don't sit there and invalidate that need. I overlook that need, but instead I validate that person and that person's need and affirm the fact that that person was able to do that. And then it's my turn to share. And when we go through this process of listening, understanding, validating each other, like God does, then we can sit back and say, here are two different needs. One is my need, and one is your need. And what we're going to do is we're going to figure out a way to resolve these two things so that it brings us back together as one. And that is where God says, you need to serve one another in love. Because many times what happens in a situation like that, you're going to have to give up something in those needs in order to make this work. See, that's what love is. Love is sacrificing something in your life, in our lives, so that we can love the other person. And that means, like with Cynthia, that I will not demand or expect her to ski all the way to the bottom and have it my way, but instead I'm going to pull back because that's what I need. I'm going to pull back and only do that in short bursts. See? And she wants me just to kind of ski with her and float with her and all that, but you know, that's happening for her. So the whole idea, we understand we know that we're not going to get exactly what we want, but we also know that we love each other so much that we're willing to give up something to make sure that this relationship works. That is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is we get together and God gives us these amazing relationships. And many times we don't choose those relationships. You know, some of you have been asking, I never wanted Pastor Peter as a pastor. He's not my type of pastor. You know, I may say, I never want you as, you know. The key is God puts us in relationships. God has special intentions about that. And God helps us through the Holy Spirit to be able to resolve our differences and our conflicts, because great relationships, good relationships, have disagreements and conflicts. Okay? Because we always have different sets of needs. And then God gives us a way to sit there and say, I want you to love that person. I want you to serve that person in love. And the way you do it is you listen, L, you understand, yeah, you validate. And then when you understand each other's needs and validate the need, then you can resolve your differences. And when that happens, we love one another. We have a conflict or a disagreement that's been resolved. And then we move on in our relationship. And we truly glorify God with our lives. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we all have experienced just the response of our flesh when our needs are not met. We've all, I believe, been guilty of doing something that just making sure that our needs will be met somehow. And we find ourselves many times not valuing the relationship that we're in. So God, help us to value that person. Help us to realize that every person that you bring us in contact with is valuable. It is a part of your plan. It's a part of your kingdom to grow and to be able to use these amazing relationships as a way to shine your love and care to others around us. So Father, help us when we're in these disagreements, in these conflicts, that we respond with your Spirit, and that we truly love and care and listen and understand and resolve our differences so that we can glorify you, that we can be a relationship that truly brings honor but also a special bond that'll be with us all our life. And we thank you for this in your Son's name. Amen.